Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. God bless you. Happy Wednesday. Hey, it's hump day already. Praise God. It's already Wednesday. Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday, middle of the week. We are having service tonight. You are invited. We're going to wrap up the book of 2 Corinthians here tonight. We're going to be looking at Paul's thorn in the flesh for the most part. Chapter 12, there's not a lot to chapter 13. At chapter 13, we're going to look at one of the last things that Paul says to them, which is scrutinize yourselves to see whether or not you are of the faith. Test your own selves. We're going to do that here tonight, 6 o'clock. You guys can join us in person. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast of WGOD, why don't you guys come by church tonight? We'd love to see you. Or you can join us live on our Facebook feed. That is Island Community Church on Facebook. That feed will turn on live right at 6 o'clock here tonight. You are invited. We'd love to see you. Here on the radio. Well, first of all, as well, this Sunday, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. We're having an excellent time in the book of Hebrews. I hope you guys enjoyed that sermon from last week, which played Monday and Tuesday here on WGOD. Looking unto Jesus, we were looking at the things in our Christian race. Remember the Greek word agona, where our word agony comes from. Paul says, I have fought the good fight of faith. That's agonizo and agona. Same Greek word. Same word used of the Lord Jesus as he sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he agonized in prayer. That's how the Holy Spirit describes our Christian walk. Really, it's not a walk. It's a run. And on this race, there's weight and sin that slows us down. Or in some cases, it takes us out. That's what we were looking at. That's what this last sermon was. You can watch the video or share it with someone. If you know someone that's loaded down with baggage, you can share that by going to our YouTube channel. It's Island Community Church on YouTube. You'll find that right there in the top. It's the last sermon from Sunday. It's very easy to share something from your iPhone or your Android, no matter what you have. Share that with someone else and pray that the Holy Spirit would help them shed the weight, as he does me and as he does all of us. We all have got some kind of ankle weights on. Or I use the analogy of a baseball bat. On-deck batter has what they call a donut on his bat. It's a weight, a deliberate weight, so that when he pops that sucker off, he is ready to hit a major league fastball. And that's what Satan's throwing out there. Okay, now let's get into the word. We're up to the next church here. We're looking here today at the corrupt church of Thyatira. Now, today we're going to travel 40 miles from this worldly church of Pergamos, which we looked at last week, and we find ourselves in a city named Thyatira. This city has gone down in history with this claim to fame, the corrupt church. certainly not the church I'd advise you to join or stay in if you're in it. If you're in a corrupt church now, maybe it's time. No, it's definitely time to leave. Our church has full of people that left corrupt churches. You guys, well, maybe you don't know what I mean. Churches that accept sin now as the norm in order to get along with society or perhaps get along with the government, they embrace sin. They hire people living in deliberate, offensive to God's sin to be the spiritual leaders of the church. Or they accept sin as norm. Our church is full of people like that, whom the Holy Spirit has led out of the corrupt church. Because this is not just a 2,000-year-old letter that the Son of God dictated to John to give to some church that's long gone and dead. You can find yourself today in a corrupt church. We're going to look at, man, oh man, this is a whole different look of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love these seven letters. You don't read this kind of stuff in the gospel. Listen to what he says here. Remember, he's writing this to the spiritual leader, I believe, the pastor of this church. Look at these things the Son of God writes to the pastor of this church. Now, to the messenger or the pastor of the church in Thyatira, right? I'm in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, if you're able to follow me. I'm reading from my Bible translation. It's going to read a little bit different. This is from the majority text. Now, to the messenger of the church in Thyatira, right? These things, or thus says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, and love, and faith, and service, and your endurance, and your last works are greater than the first. But I've got this against you, that you tolerate your wife Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now that's the big difference between my translation. If you have a New King James, though, you'll find that difference there in a footnote. It's not me making this up. The majority of Greek manuscripts here read your wife instead of woman because the word for woman and wife is the same Greek word. But here in the preposition, the wife, the woman of yours, so that forces us to interpret this as wife. That's how most Greek manuscripts read here. I've got this against you, that you tolerate your wife. Remember, he's writing this to the spiritual leader of this church. And there's more proof right there that he's not talking to an angel. Jesus is not dictating a letter for John to give to an invisible angel that he cannot see. This is for the spiritual leader. The messenger, the man that God has installed there to be God's mouthpiece in Thyatira. I've got this against you, he says, that you tolerate your wife, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time so that she might repent, and she does not wish to repent of her fornication. Behold, I am casting her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, if they do not repent of her works. He goes on, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches minds and hearts. I will give to each one according to your works. But to you I say, to the rest who are in Thyatira, as many as do not have or hold to this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and they will be smashed to pieces like clay vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not to just the church, to the churches. This is for all the churches. Specifically, to maybe all of you out here that are members of the corrupt church, listen to these words from the Son of God. So again, back from the top now. Now we're looking at this church. This church has gone down in history, known as the corrupt church, or as I read in my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, it's called the Church of the False Prophetess. So go ahead and hang that sign outside your church door. So again, let me refresh your memories here. These seven letters were written to seven individual churches. That is correct. But they also represent seven types of churches you'll find in all of the church age. So a person could find themselves in any one of these seven churches here today. From a faithful church, you could find yourself in a persecuted church like Smyrna. You could find yourself in a corrupt church like this one, or to a dead church. That's when we get to Sardis coming up. Or you could find yourself in the faithful church like Philadelphia. It's got no correction from the Lord. All they get is a blank check signed from the Son of God to go out here and do ministry. You could find yourself in a lukewarm church that's neither cold nor hot. But I love the way my good friend Pastor Dan Stahlbaum used to put it, that a lukewarm church, that to be lukewarm is to be the same temperature as your surroundings. And that's the last church listed. Perhaps many people think that'll be the church that's in operation if this is going through epochs, as they would say. Some people say that this represents the church age, Ephesus from the beginning all the way here to the end. All right, so here we go. Revelation chapter 2. Starting in verse 18. Now to the angel or the messenger or the pastor of the church in Thyatira, right? Thus says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. All right, so remember, as in all of these other letters, he starts off with an attribute of himself. That's the first thing he does. These attributes is he's repeating what John wrote in chapter 1. There's a paragraph of attributes about the Son of God. The Lord Jesus himself applies each one attribute of himself to each one of these seven churches. To hear, it's the Son of God who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. All right, so first of all, he says he's the Son of God. So much for all the naysayers and the Christian liberals and scoffers out there who say, well, the Lord never said he was God. Remember last week I was talking about Unity Church. Sounds all nice and good on the outside, but don't go inside of the doors because they don't believe things like this. They don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't believe he is the only way. I won't even call them a church, but it certainly is corrupt. If you find yourself in a corrupt church, I encourage you to get out and find a local Philadelphia out here. A church that's doing it right. A church that sits under the authority of the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak. You sit under its rule. Sin is still sin. You love what God loves. You hate what God hates. You do what he says. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. That is a faithful church. When the pastor and the leader sits under the Word of God and does what he says. So, thus says the Son of God. Again, I've said these naysayers. Maybe you're shocked, but there's a lot of people that don't think that Jesus is God, or they lay claim that say, well, he never said he was God. Well, It's we just read it here. Revelation chapter 2, 18. What do you do with that? Thus says the Son of God. Let me inform you, if God is your Father, then you are God. He just called himself God. This isn't the only time he's called himself God. We read in John 8, 58, he said in Greek, he said, Prin Abraham genestai ego eimi, which means, before Abraham was, I am. He called, that's why in verse 59, the Jews picked up stones to throw at him, to stone him, because he just called himself Jehovah, the same name that God revealed himself to Moses back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. When Moses said to God, when these people ask me what your name is, God, what should I say to them? And he said, Ego eimi ho on. That is, I am the being. Our translations say, I am who I am. The Greek Septuagint Old Testament says, I am the being. So certainly he called himself God. He said, I think it was Thomas in John chapter 20 and John 14, 9, those who have seen me have seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father and that will suffice? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So he calls himself the Son of God because he is the Son of God. Even the demons know he's the Son of God. How about you? One day, one demon came up to the Lord. Of course, this happened in the religious service because many times that's where you're going to find demons. You're going to find them in religious services because, and a religious service in which they won't feel threatened at all. And that would be in a religious service that's not preaching the word of God or where sin rules. And this demon said, he said, let us alone. He said this to the Son of God. Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Sounds like Captain Barbossa, right? Leave us alone. What have we to do with you? Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? He says, I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God, Mark 1:24. Better yet, on even a better authority, much better authority, we hear God say in Matthew 3:17, speaking of the Son, he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So don't believe the naysayers out there that says he never said he was God. Sure he did. He did say he was God. He is God. In the beginning was the Word, John wrote, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The second thing the Lord said, that he had eyes like a flame of fire, that is, penetrating eyes, like he can look right through you. He is God incarnate, divine vision. You know, like the old John Wayne movie, The Searchers. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true searcher. More on that as we get to the end of this study here at his church. Number three, say he has feet like fine brass. This signifies strength and purity. Strength and purity. Now, verse 19 starts with a little encouragement. He says, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your endurance. Hupomone. Remember that word? Looked at it many times. Hupomone. Hupo means under. Mene means to abide under. To abide under the hand of God. To abide under the hand of God when you're going through trials in your life. This spiritual compound gets developed on you that enables you to kick demonic fanny. It comes through humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, Peter wrote. It gets developed in you in adversity, through adversity. As you undergo and as you find yourself in the midst of adversity, and when you abide under the hand of God, let him deliver you through this particular trial that you're going through. This gets developed in you. which turns you into a spiritual giant just like David. This is how David can write what he wrote. Psalm 56, verse 9, he says, when I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know, because God is for me. Now that got developed in David, and it will be developed in you as you trust God, as you go through adversity in your life. That's the only way to develop this, is trust in God when you're going through trials. Trust in God. Remember what we just read last week. He said, to him who overcomes, I will give to him some of the hidden manna, which you know not of. You can't dig for it. It's not like a little Pokemon. You can't go out here and set it free and find it on your iPhone, you see. It's stashed away, waiting for the right time. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Now, remember, there's no rain or food. Remember, a quart of wheat for a denarius. When we get to chapter 6 in the book of Revelation, it's a whole day's wage for a loaf of bread. But Jesus said to everyone who trusts him, who endures these trials that are going on out here, I will give to them some of this food that's hidden. It's up in God's storehouse, perhaps. It's right next to the room up there that's marked hell. First, you got God. You got a broom closet up there. Then you got this hell that's been prepared for this end of the age. And also up there, I'd imagine up there in a room, is manna. It's food that God has prepared for you and I and everyone out here who will trust God in the face of adversity and get out of the boat and say no to the government and say no to the government's plan for you to buy and sell. Jesus has got a plan. Trust him. Say no to this mark of the beast. Remember, that's an economic mark. It's in order to buy or sell. It's not a religious mark. It's an economic mark. It's to buy and sell food and to live and survive and eat and Lord only knows what else. All I know is don't do it, and all I know is there's no repentance from it. Don't do it. Jesus said, everyone who overcomes out here, I will give to them some of this hidden manna to eat, which you know not of. You can't find it. Not until you get out of the boat. Just like Indiana Jones. I just watched that movie again. Indiana Jones in the Last Crusade. His father was shot. He's trying to find the Holy Grail, and he has to cross over this impossible, incrossable valley, this cavern. And he had to trust, and he had to put his foot down when he couldn't see the plank. And that's what we have to do. We have to trust God in the face of adversity, just like that movie. Step out of the boat. And you'll discover that the Lord Jesus is with you all along. He's waiting on you, just like Abraham. We read when Abraham grabbed that knife and he picked up that knife. We read in Genesis chapter 22, he picked up that knife to slay his son. And then God said to him, up. No, you don't. Now I know, is what God said to him. Now I know. And that's what he's waiting for us to do as well, to get out of that boat. To everyone who overcomes out there, I will give to you some of this hidden manna to eat, which you know not of. Then he commends them for five things. First of all, for their works. The Lord knows their works. The Lord knows your works. Let me ask the question, is that good news or is that bad news that he knows your works? He tells us not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not faint. What are you doing? What are you doing today for Jesus Christ? Just throwing it out there. He knows your works. These guys got commended for it. Even this corrupt church got commended for something. They got commended for their works. Then he says he knows that they're loved. That's the greatest commandment. So naturally, if it's the greatest commandment, if you get that right, then it's the greatest transgression if you get that wrong. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. It's the first and greatest commandment. So naturally, it's the first and greatest transgression. Not to love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all that you do. Third thing he commends them for is their service. That is, we serve the Lord Christ. Greek word diakonos, where our word deacon comes from, means to serve. It even meant to serve tables back then. These things all work together. James wrote in 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know, we'll end up here today on this thought. Remember, when the Lord Jesus returns, he's going to settle accounts with you for what you have done with what he has given you. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, Paul wrote, so that we all may give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. He's looking at us today and he says, I know your works. Is that good or is that bad? But I'll tell you what, friend, as long as it's still today, we still can turn that around and devote the rest of our time to serving the Lord Christ, because he's coming back again soon. And perhaps that's a good way to fulfill that promise that he says, behold, he's coming back a second time apart from sin to everyone who looks for him. And what a great way to be looking for him is out here on the streets today, doing his work, serving him, letting him use you to add more names to the book of life, fill up these few remaining seats that are left out here in the kingdom. I envision heaven as a sign on the outside of the gate that says maximum capacity, because many will try to get in coming up soon. Many will try to get in and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, it's all over. We'll pick it up there next time. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
New Beginnings Funeral Home in Pembroke Pines reminds listeners it is estimated that over 325,000 women in the United States will be diagnosed, but early detection offers higher treatment success rates. Ladies, take time out for yourselves. Schedule your mammogram or checkup today. That life-saving reminder is courtesy of New Beginnings Funeral Home in Pembroke Pines. They are wishing everybody a happy new year and are encouraging all ladies. Your time is important, your health is precious, and you are irreplaceable.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Paul Ehrlich's 1968 book, The Population Bomb, warned of mass starvation and environmental collapse. And the cause of this coming apocalypse, he said, was too many babies. The only way to stave off disaster was to reduce the human population. Countries around the world took those warnings to heart, especially communist countries. Most famously, China adopted laws that attempted to control fertility, but so did a few other nations, like Vietnam. Well, today, facing aging populations and record low birth rates, countries are rethinking the edicts and incentives they designed to reduce the number of children born. And some, including China, are even adopting incentives and policies designed to encourage more children. Earlier this month, Vietnam scrapped its longstanding two-child policy that has tanked the nation's birth rate and threatened its